Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? These are horror movies. It's the deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing inside. How do you talk about that every week? All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Wrestling podcast? How fucking original.
I guess I should, You're welcome.
Here's your host of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster, Jack and Ryan.
Double or nothing. So here we go. The Double or Nothing review. AEW Double or Nothing happened last night. I have a very biased opinion on this because of what happened to me last night. So I have to actually watch this whole pay-per-view again, okay? So take everything I say with a grain of salt. It could change next week when we come back on here and talk about AEW when we talk about Dynamite and like the lead in from that, like everything that's happened from this, and they continue the stories and make new stories and all that stuff. So I might bring this up again later on, or I could just tweet about it if I have a change of opinion. But my experience last night was not good. Okay, I had a couple people over. I had Robert, I had Jer, I had Belly Nash, and I had Jer over. Belly's been over for a few pay-per-views already. Jer pretty much just came over because he really wanted to play with my Bulldogs, right? So but he was watching it, and he actually is familiar with the Golden Lovers, believe it or not. For a guy that doesn't really know anything about wrestling, he's familiar with Golden Lovers. So that should tell you about how big their impact is through social media and YouTube and all that stuff. When you know how the YouTube videos come out and they tell the story of shit so that people can understand or whatever. I assume that he's watched a couple of those. He's also a little bit familiar with Lucha Underground. So I was like pointing out all the Lucha Underground people that are in AEW. I was like, yeah, that guy's in Lucha Underground, or that guy's from Lucha Underground. I said, she's from Lucha Underground. I was like, and in the Battle Royal alone, I pointed out Brian Cage, Swerve, Penta, Phoenix. I was like, yeah, they were all in Lucha Underground. And I was like, they also have Thunder Rosa, who used to be Cobra Moon in Lucha Underground. So like, I was like, yeah, they got a shit ton of people. I assume that they both enjoyed it, but they're obviously going to have the same issues that I had because we all watched it on the same TV, and that is the BR app is trash, okay? Usually I don't have an issue with BR app. I've had some issues where like it might not start right away because there's too many people trying to get on or whatever, and then you just wait a couple like 5-10 minutes into the show, everything works fucking smoothly, right? This one, the sound and the video were so unsynchronized. I mean, we're talking a good 5 to 10 seconds off, all right? Back out, restart it, fixes it for about three moves, and then starts slowly getting separated again. Restarted the entire app, restarted the Roku, just go back and forth. I even tried to rewind it into the pay-per-view and be like, well, I'll just be a little bit behind everybody else, and I'll just try to stay off social media. And it worked. That probably actually worked more than everything else, but it still eventually separated. And then that did that for the 4-hour fucking pay-per-view. So I was very annoyed. Very annoyed. So you put that into it, You also put into the fact that I thought the crowd came off really bad, even though a lot of people that were there live were saying that it was very loud inside. So it was clearly a mic'd up issue, which I feel like they've had that issue ever since they got this fucking WWE X guy in January, that the sound and the mics and everything have been fucking off, and they need to go back to the old sound setup, because this is a common reoccurrence ever since January. When they said that they were going to do the new fresh setup and the change, and they changed everything to the red and the blue or whatever, you know, remember that? And they had brought that guy in or whatever. So I don't have an issue with the red and blue shit anymore, per se. I think that's nitpicky. It was a nitpick when I did it before, but the sound thing is something that I can't overlook. It's bad. A couple of matches didn't hit for me, but I can't really tell you if that is because of what was going on with BR app or if it really didn't hit with me. You know what I'm saying? So I know for a fact that I'm not gonna just change my mind miraculously on the Cole Jericho match. I don't think that was a good match. I thought it was not good at all, actually. Even if the crowd was into it, I don't think it would have changed my mind. It was very clumsy. I just don't feel like they meshed well together. I don't know. Sometimes Jericho comes out there and he hits, and sometimes he doesn't. I fully put the blame on his shoulders out of the two. If I'm going to put somebody on blast, like if I had to say one of the two were the reason why, but I honestly, if I had to tell you, an unbiased opinion, I think they just didn't go together for some reason in this match. Maybe it was the stipulation. Maybe it was the spots. Maybe it was I don't know what the fuck it was. I know when they got to the chain parts, all the chain parts were fucking terrible. So bad. So clumsy. So, like I said, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, because I really do have to watch it again. I don't think I'm going to really like that match again anyway. The pre-show match was pretty good, which I liked because I didn't have issues with that because that was on YouTube, right? So I'm watching that on YouTube. I didn't have any sound separation and synchronicity issues. So, like, I like that match. And I feel bad for Jeff Hardy, though, because Jeff Hardy, I couldn't tell if he actually fucked up his leg, though, right? Because a lot of people were saying, oh, he botched this, he botched this. Jeff Hardy isn't botching three moves in a row unless his leg was really fucked up. I honestly believe he might have tweaked something. I don't say it's a serious injury or anything, but even when he went to go do that desperation tag, he hit his fucking face on the bottom of the rope. Like fucking Enzo type deal. So I honestly believe that he fucked his leg up at some point. In fact, I wouldn't even be shocked if when he went to go do the Whisper in the Wind that he didn't do that actually on purpose. But the move before that,
where he plants his foot doesn't make sense. That's not where. That's if you watch him ever do that move, that's never where he puts his foot. It looks like he does.
I think that move was on purpose, but I do think that maybe the move before it actually did fuck it up, and maybe he botched the move before it, and then he tried to do that to make it make sense.
That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me, too. So the people are saying that Jeff Hardy is washed or whatever. It might be true. He might be washed, but it's not because of that match. I don't think it was in that match that he was washed. You've got to remember, that was his first real match in forever. The only match he's had since, it was the deletion match, which is a fucking cinematic match.
The way that sequence looked to me was they fucked up the twist of fate, and nobody was really sure why, but he knew it was wrong. So then he starts selling it like he twisted his leg while he did the spin around part for it. And then he immediately he's like, fuck it. Like, I'll figure something out. He goes up to the top rope and says, well, I'll sell it as a leg injury, whatever, to explain the last fucked up move by intentionally botching this one to make it seem like they have a chance. Like, this isn't just going to be like the finishing sequence or whatever.
All right, so what do you think about my thoughts of the Adam Cole? Because you watched it on Fight, so you didn't have any issues. And by the way, I'm not the only one that had issues. I saw it all over the place on my timeline. I wasn't the only one that had video sound issues on BR.
Don't interrupt me while I'm in the middle of fucking explaining something. But what it looked like to me was, if you watch where he plants his feet, it's 100% intentional. He like completely misses it on purpose. It's never where he puts his feet for it. So everybody that's saying like, oh yeah, he's washed, he fucked up, he botched like three moves in a row. No, he botched one move, and then he tried to make that make sense by intentionally botching another one to sell a leg injury. That's it. And if you ever watch his matches with Jeff and Matt against each other, they do a lot of leg selling in that, and it's very much the same. You're wondering the whole fucking time, like, oh, is he, like, legit hurt? This is not something new for him. So anybody talking about that shit, like, if he messed up his leg at all, it wasn't that he was injured and then he fucked it up. He might have hurt it doing the fake fucking botch, if anything, because the way he came down was pretty awkward. But it was clearly intentional, just from where he's putting his feet. As far as the Jericho Cole thing, yeah, it felt flat to me. I don't know if this... So here's the problem. You have the huge Anarchy in the Arena match later in the night. So there's some stuff that you really can't do because it kind of takes away from that later in the night. So you can't... You're a little bit limited. Like, you can't go crazy with everything without
it
seeming
like... Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question. So... We didn't even realize it in the moment when they made all the matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to have an unsanctioned match and then have an Anarchy in the Arena match on the same show doesn't make any sense when the Anarchy in the Arena match had crazier shit happening that you were okay with sanctioning as AEW, but then we didn't want to sanction Jericho versus Cole, and the biggest thing they used was a chain. Or these motherfuckers are using exploding shoes. Like what the fuck? Like... Why is AEW okay with whatever happens to BCC and the Elite, but not okay with, we don't want to take responsibility for whatever happens between Jericho and Cole?
I think because they were saying they were going to kill each other. They weren't just going to take each other's eyes out with screwdrivers. A little bit easier to sanction. I don't fucking know, man. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I didn't realize that in the moment, and then we watched the pay-per-view. I was like, oh, that literally made no sense why you would have that on the same show. I think they should have saved the Jericho and Cole thing for maybe this Dynamite coming up or something.
They probably should have had a regular match first and then built to that. Not that I really want to see this go on too much longer, but I do think that would have made more sense. But I think their logic on it is the pay-per-view is now. The next pay-per-view is so far away. We don't want to drag that out that long. The next pay-per-view is a month from now. It's Forbidden Door, and we're not going to have them go against each other for fucking Forbidden Door because... They're not,
Well, what if I throw this out at you? What if we do? What if we just did the opposite and we had the mixed tag match on the pay per view instead, and then we had the unsanctioned match on Dynamite coming up this weekend instead?
Yeah, that would have made more sense. It had been a pretty big selling point for Dynamite, even if the match ended up the exact same. Like, it still would have brought in viewers, even if it felt flat for a couple of reasons. It felt like they weren't able to do some stuff. It felt like Jericho was calling it, if that tells you anything. And not that he's bad at calling matches or whatever, but they just, kind of like you were saying, they didn't really seem to be jiving together for whatever reason. And then the emotion of the match was, it kind of hit probably about like 3/4 of the way through, but that's a little bit too late for a match like that where the whole thing is supposed to be a fucking blood feud where the guy wants to kill you for what you did to his... girlfriend or whatever. Like, it wasn't terrible. It was probably the worst thing on the card, but the worst thing on a card on an AEW show still is, it's like a C. We're not talking about like a fucking F. So it was watchable. It was okay. It kind of made sense. I didn't understand the whole bring in Sabu to do one spot right at the beginning and then never see him again for the rest of the fucking match deal. That seemed weird to me. I get that it was a way to write off the JAS for the rest of the match or whatever, but it was still just, it didn't really fit. But yeah, I mean, I guess overall it was the worst thing on the show, but it wasn't like unwatchably bad. So
I'll watch it again, obviously, with everything synced up, hopefully. And hopefully have a better idea of
I think
my
I even
thoughts
texted
on
you.
It.
I think I said it feels a little bit flat. So
well, I mean, like, even just watching the parts that I know for a fact were not good, I don't know if I was, because you got to take into consideration, I'm already agitated and irritated that my shit's not working, right? So that's already putting me in a fucking bad mood. I got two people over here that are visiting at like a party situation trying to watch this, and now I have to deal with this on top of it, and I'm also trying to pay attention because we got the podcast, so, and because I'm a wrestling fan. So it was just, I'm just not in a good mood, watching this whole fucking show because it never fixed itself. But yeah, I'll just watch it again. Ain't no big deal. But let's talk about the Battle Royale that actually
on the Jericho match. I didn't like the finish. Doing a stoppage.
Yeah, I didn't either, yeah.
In an unsanctioned match, A, is kind of weird. And B, he's sitting on top of him and Jericho's knocked out with his shoulders on the mat. Just count the fucking pin. Have Adam Cole on top of him beating the shit out of him. Doesn't realize that he's getting a pinfall because he's so focused on just beating the shit out of him. Aubrey counts the three, match is over, she has to go over and like pull him off and he's still going fucking crazy. That would be a way cooler finish than doing a stoppage. And then he's just being okay.
To your point, it doesn't make any sense on a stoppage on an unsanctioned match because who are you protecting? Because they've already signed over their rights. So just let them keep beating the shit out of them. Like, I don't understand. I didn't understand that either.
I didn't like it. All right, Battle Royal.
I would have been okay with it if somebody from JAS would have ran out there like a Garcia or something and said, stop it, stop it.
Yeah.
And then that's why they cut it off. If you were so worried about protecting Jericho for whatever reason on his toughness, which doesn't make any sense, but... Anyway, but the Battle Royale, I think, was fucking really good. I think between the pre-show and the Battle Royale, I think they started out with two good matches and ended up with two good matches that really saved the show. All right, that's how I view it, with a bunch of mid stuff in the middle, but they had some cool moments in the middle. I'm not going to say that it was mid in a bad way, as we'll get to. But let's talk about the Battle Royale. Cassidy won, and speaking of, I got to throw up the new predictions. I've tallied it all. You gained some matches on me, but I'm still up by two. So I'm still the prediction champion, baby.
That's pretty close. I thought I lost.
Oh, it's very close. You killed me in NXT Battleground, which you didn't even want to predict because you don't even follow it. And I told you, I was like, I'm pretty sure you had beat me last time. I said, you sure? I think you beat me last time. I'm 62-16. You're 60-18 right now. I went 3-3 on NXT Battleground. I beat you at Night of Champions by one, and then you beat me by two, I think, in Double or Nothing, something like that.
And that's with me already saying Christian Cage won't win, but I'm going to pick him anyway because that's what I want to happen. So, yeah, I mean, it's not bad. Close that gap pretty quick.
Honestly, there was points in that match where I thought Christian was going to win, and I was really fucked. But really, all I had to do was win. Because I had such a big lead, all I had to do was really win one that we disagreed on, and I was good to keep it. And I did that at Night of Champions, so... Alright, so the Battle Royale. I picked Jay White. He got down to the final four, I believe, so I was feeling good about myself. Glad I didn't pick Kip Sabian, because that was the other guy, and he got thrown out pretty early. Of course, Cassidy was in there, and I was like, motherfucker. I was like, anybody but Cassidy. Anybody but Cassidy, just so I don't take the L, right? Because I was more worried about the predictions, obviously, for the show. I'm okay with Cassidy keeping it, obviously. I picked Jay White because I thought it would have made... I think it could have made sense with Jay White. I think it could have made sense with Swerve. I was actually going for Swerve when it was down to those two. I think it would be okay if Swerve... Because like you said, they're not going to change it on a Battle Royale, which obviously made sense at the time. Swerve beating him in a singles match later on, maybe after beating Keith Lee and finally getting that storyline finished, I'd be okay with that. With Swerve getting the international title off of Cassidy in a one-on-one situation. Loved the ending. I thought they did really good. I would put it up there with the end of the Royal Rumble between Rhea and Bianca as far as some of my favorite endings to Battle Royals or Royal Rumbles or Casino Battle Royals. I thought it was pretty good. I love the fact that the Orange Cassidy bit where he just said, fuck it, I'm just going to kick your hand off, played perfectly into his character. And then Swerve doing the Scooby-Doo fucking trying to hurry up and fucking grab it while he's falling was great too and really sold the spot in general. So I really like the Battle Royale. I think they had some cool spots in it. I think Commander showed out. I think Bandito showed out. I just thought it was a fucking good quality Battle Royale, which you don't really see these days. Smart move, I think, also to have half the fucking people say, fuck it, we're staying on the outside so that everybody's not so convoluted and you can actually do some moves on the inside for the first 5 minutes of the match.
Yeah, that made sense. I like the pacing of it. The little bits of storytelling and callbacks that happened throughout it were all good. The little alliances that got made throughout it were good. Obviously, a lot of them made sense. You know, Trent saving Orange Cassidy at one point and some of the other stuff that was going on. Keith Lee's Swerve standoff, like there was a lot of little stuff in there that just made sense for the character interactions. A lot of the eliminations were good, made sense. Ricky Starks eliminating both Jay and Juice was pretty much how it had to go, made sense. As far as Battle Royals go, the way that this one was paced and the way that it ended and the right person winning, not just for my predictions but just for the storyline purposes of you don't end a reign like that on a Battle Royal. Seems really weird. I thought this was really good. I thought it was one of the higher spots of the show. Overall, even looking at it at the end, obviously the two main events are the ones that are going to get the most attention because they were the best parts, but I thought this was really well done.
Okay, so let's move on to the Jade Taya match, because this was a big moment, obviously. I would like to preface all these comments by saying that I thought it kind of sucked, because we're Jade Cargill fans, right? And we knew that she had to lose, and everybody that's been an AEW fan for the longest time have been calling Statlander to be the one to take it off of her, right? Now, there's been times where we didn't know when she was going to come back. So when Athena came in, we were like, oh, that kind of makes sense. I would be okay with Athena won. I'd be okay if Taya won, stuff like that. But she ended up going over all of them. I think it was odd to have her finally, I think that was Jade's best match against Taya. That was one of her better matches. Everybody talks about, brings up like a Willow match or the Athena match. I think that Taya match is right up there. So to have like your best match in your fucking run and then lose it seconds later when Statlander comes back kind of sucked. But obviously I was very happy with that Statlander came in and it made sense. And Jade made it make perfect sense by her tweet this morning or last night, whenever she made it. She said it was, I went for double and I got nothing. Which made perfect sense, right? Like, it was perfect, because she was cocky, she had just done the same thing on Dynamite when she racked up three wins or whatever, then tries to do it again at the pay-per-view at Double or Nothing, and tries to get 61 and ends up losing to Statlander. I thought that was pretty cool. I also like that Statlander didn't just come in and do, like, a Money in the Bank situation where she just did a finisher and won. Jade actually kicked out and had a chance to still retain and fuck everybody over. And piss everybody off, which would have been hilarious, I think, honestly. But I'm happy for Statlander. Happy for Taya. I think they do turn her heel, by the way. I think that that's the thing that they've been doing on a regular basis with people that they've been bringing in to go against Jade. They don't beat Jade, and they turn heel because they tried to do it the right way, and they couldn't do it, so they turn heel. But yeah, I think that was one of her better fucking matches. Like, it was really... I was, like, pleasantly surprised, and I think... It helped because we all knew that the hater Tony Storm, and I'll go ahead and throw that one in here too, because me and you, we already knew, we said it on the prediction show, that match was not going to be as good as their previous one because haters hurt, right? That's exactly how it ended up being. It was almost a glorified squash match by Tony Storm, honestly, which made perfect sense because haters legit hurt. So the fact that the Jade Taya match was so well received helped cushion the blow of the hater Tony Storm match not living up to their previous match because hater was hurt.
Yeah. I feel bad for Taya in this, because now she's taken two losses. Hit her finisher even in this one, and still just got kicked out of, and then got finished herself, and then fucking match was over. It was a pretty clean match. I think there was the one little spot with Layla Gray where she just got knocked off the apron, so it wasn't anything crazy, but still ends up losing.
You know what would have been cool if they would have just traded finishers? Like, Jade kicking out of Taya's. Okay, then Jade hits Taya with hers, but then Taya kicks out. People would have went fucking nuts, and then Jade just hits her with it again, like a few seconds later, and then kicks out. I thought that would have made Taya look a lot better.
I agree. Having her lose on the first one after hitting it herself and getting kicked out of, I thought kind of sucked. Not sucked. It just wasn't as good as booking as it could have been to keep Taya looking strong, because now it just looks like there's somebody who's clearly better than you at everything that you do, and that's a hard thing to come back from.
I do feel like because they had the same finisher, the finisher would have been protected because the two people that kicked out of it were the two people that do the finisher.
Right. So they know how to protect themselves against it if they're in it, or whatever the fuck logic you want to use from Regal. But yeah, obviously we talked about, even on the prediction show, Statlander eventually coming back to win it. Didn't know it would be tonight until Sterling grabbed the mic, and I was like, okay, it's tonight. Yeah, I mean, I thought this was good. I thought it was I don't know if I'm with you on it being like one of Cargill's best matches. It wasn't bad. The problem with doing that comparison is that a lot of her matches are fucking squash matches too. So you look at her history. I think she's probably had a couple better ones, but yeah, it wasn't bad. The question now is, do you move her into the world title picture against Tony Storm as a face? You know,
The rumor is that she's going to take some time off and have a personality shift, so she could come back as a babyface next time. Who knows? We'll never know.
Yeah.
We'll never know. We won't know until she comes back.
And the other problem with it is, too, is it doesn't make Statlander look very babyface-ish to come in and be like, yeah, I'm going to take the belt off of you after you just had a match against another babyface. It seems fucking weird, right?
Well, I don't agree with that, because I feel like the way that Jade comes off is the cocky heel that thinks she can beat everybody. And
yeah, like Taekwon said, it's the same fucking thing. Like, yeah, like when Hogan came out and beat Yokozuna after Yokozuna beat Bret Hart, everyone was like, that's kind of not really that much of a babyface fucking move, right? It was just weird. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't like Statlander got permission from fucking Taya to go do it, right? And it also wasn't like fucking they came out to challenge him with, no, fucking Sterling's the one. Fuji wasn't out there fucking saying bring out Hogan or bring out another challenger like Sterling was. So it's not the same. Fuji didn't grab a fucking mic and was like, oh, we're not done yet. That's all you got? No, that's not what happened. So the Hogan thing is way worse.
Yeah, a lot of Hogan things are way worse than...
That's true.
Yeah. But it's true, though. It's hard to look at that like it's a babyface move. Even if Sterling is like, whatever, like you still don't look at it like a triumphant win in the same way, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so what are your quick thoughts on the Haters-Tony Storm match, then?
For working around the injury that we all know that she had, I feel like they did as best they could with it. It didn't really make sense to have nobody come out to help Hater at the very start when she's fucking getting dog walked out the ramp for so long. Like, that was crazy. It just
seemed
like...
You're talking about, like, where the fuck was Sheeta the whole time?
Yeah, or...
Because Britt was obviously in the previous match with Cole and Jericho, though.
But she's there! And
yeah, we know
a stick.
She's there.
So why didn't she fucking come out?
Probably fucking checking on Cole and shit in the back.
Cole won!
So what? That don't mean you're fucking just... Okay, so what? Okay, so Renee wasn't checking on Moxley then, even though they won? Moxley was just fucking good to go?
Yeah.
Moxley no, that's good. Not how that works.
Moxley has never had...
Adam Cole still got fucked up.
Yeah, it was definitely like a short match. They kind of protected her with like the exposed turnbuckle stuff and the, you know, that kind of shit. But for what they had to work around, it was as good as it was going to be. And I mean, we even said, or I said, that, you know, with how they have to do it, it'll probably be some, you know, fucky finish stuff. So even though they've had the really good match in the past with each other, just having to work around the injury.
I mean, that's fine. I'm cool with that, because it's a way to protect Hater, who didn't really lose it anyway. It wasn't really her time to lose it. She just got an injury. I'd be perfectly okay, because everybody looks like it's going to be set up to be her taking it back off of her at Wembley with the huge crowd in her favor, right? It would be fucking awesome. But I would like to throw in a cage match stipulation based off of what just happened on the previous match they just had last night to keep, quote-unquote, everybody out. And have a cage match at Wembley with fucking Hater and Tony Storm would be fucking awesome, I think.
How the fuck is that going to help if they beat her up backstage before they drag her to the cage?
That's a great question, but you could say that about any cage match. You could say that about any cage match.
Yeah, I guess. But that's what happened.
I mean, especially if you already have the double cages anyway, in case they're going to do Blood and Guts at All In, which we still
just
don't know.
Do a cage all the way to the ramp or the entrance.
All right, let's move on to the trios match. Let's do the trios match. We all knew it was going to be the Acclaimed, right? So that was pretty cool. Fucking still super over. Never was not over. That's one of the reasons why I said it was okay for them to lose the tag titles to begin with. Because it didn't hurt them. And I've been proven right ever since, because they haven't lost anything. They haven't lost anything as far as crowd support goes. So, just validates what I said months ago when they dropped the titles to the Gun Club. A couple months ago. I thought it was an entertaining match.
I saw a lot of people complaining about this, and I didn't get it. I liked this. I thought it was good. I think maybe the Bowen's leg cell went on a little bit too long, like trying to tease that tag to Billy. Other than that, I thought the pacing of it was really good. I thought you know, there's a lot of strong spots in it. The finish was good. I had no problem with this match, and I saw a lot of people complaining about it. I do think it's strange how fucking good Billy still looks. Like, not just physically, but with his movement, with his moveset, his ability, like, all that stuff. At his age is crazy to me.
Are we just like, going to shit on every Trios match as a Twitter audience just because it's not going to be the Elite versus Death Triangle every fucking time, or the Elite versus House of Black? Like, is that what's happening right now?
They shit on those, too. I don't know.
I don't know who the fuck shit on those, but they're definitely out of their fucking mind if they shit on them.
My biggest problem with this was just the lack of the dealer's choice rule. I thought that makes the baby faces look fucking stupid.
Somebody was so funny. They said on Twitter that they should have challenged them to a wrap-off and then just took the titles and bounced. That was the last rule.
I thought Caster's rap coming out was pretty good, pretty memorable, obviously. A couple pretty painful bars in there. I didn't have the problem with this match that everybody else seemed to. And I the first time they did the lighting thing, and it wasn't what it is now, where it's more of like a weird little like line spectrum kind of shit. I wasn't crazy about it the first time, but I think it looks really cool now. I like this. I like the atmosphere that they have for this.
I like that they got the fire going on the screen too at the same time. Yeah. On the Jumbotron or whatever.
The black and white stuff.
The flames or whatever the fuck they got going on the actual monitors.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that the pacing on this was good. I thought the match was fine. There wasn't a whole lot of story in it except for the psychology of the match itself, where Bowens had his leg worked on and then had to fight for so long to try to get the tag. There wasn't like a lot of build story-wise up to the match itself, but I thought the match was fine. I don't know why people were complaining about this.
Alright, so let's talk about FTR versus Jared and Lethal. I thought this was another entertaining tag team match, but we already knew what the fuck was going on. We knew fucking FTR was winning, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't call them TNA rejects on the Dynamite before, and then you're going to lose the TNA rejects. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's... I highly doubt Tony Khan would ever do that, because then it would make your championship cheapen instantly. So you can't call your opponents that and then lose to them. So FTR winning is no shock. But it was an entertaining match. But like I said, it was pretty predictable for who was going to win, obviously, since we both got it right as well.
Yeah, the predictability hurt a little bit. I was
thinking about the Aubrey spot when Karen Jarrett hit her with the fucking guitar.
Hit her so hard she fell herself. Yeah. It is hard to walk.
Why does Karen Jarrett keep wearing these fucking shoes out there, knowing damn well you can't fucking do a move in them or walk in them without falling over? She does it all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's to be
stop
dramatic.
Wear fucking regular ass shoes or wear some fucking flip flops or nothing at all.
Maybe it's a running joke. Yeah, I thought that spot was interesting from the point of view that she doesn't have infinite guitars, so just send out another fucking referee. Like, why is Aubrey the only one you're gonna send out? And you're like, fuck it, we give up. We're not going to try to have anybody else call this one. Just, she got hit with a guitar. We're done. No more refs.
If I'm a referee, I'm not running out there to get hit with a guitar.
She only got one guitar.
Yeah, but you don't know what they got under the ring with Anarchy in the Arena going on later on.
Yeah.
Logic, baby.
Those are marked mocks, so we're good.
Is there a rule that they can only hit people with guitars? They can hit me with something else, too.
I have no fucking idea. Apparently,
just knowing that they'll hit you in the face with a guitar. Should tell you that, hey, they might hit you in the face with something else. I'm not running out there. Sorry, Aubrey. Hope you're okay.
That's a Jarrett family rule. They have that shit magneted to their refrigerator. Logically, it didn't make sense. It was a cool spot. It was cool to see Aubrey take a bump. It popped the crowd. It didn't make logical sense. And there was a lot of... I wouldn't call it overbooked, because it's kind of the whole Lethal Jarrett thing is to have all the overbooked Sanjay Dutt and Satnam and all that bullshit, but it was entertaining. Maybe a little overbooked, maybe a little bit overbooked. It was still entertaining though. I don't think it did anything for anybody. Like, it doesn't make FTR look any better to have won. It doesn't make Mark Briscoe look any better. Not really. Like, it doesn't make Lethal and Jarrett look any better. Like, I don't. That's my one complaint about this match, is it didn't do anything for anyone. But I was entertained watching it, so.
Yeah, it was entertaining. Speaking of entertaining, how did you feel about the TNT ladder match between Wardlow and Christian.
I liked it. I think Wardlow's a fucking idiot. I don't know how you look at that ladder that he smashed the fuck out of and think, yeah, I'm just going to set it up and try to climb it. Buddy, have you never had to watch any OSHA safety course in your whole fucking life?
It's not even that. I think he was stupid for even trying to attempt to jump on it in the first place when he bent it, because there's no fucking way. There's no way. Why are you jumping on that side of the ladder anyway?
Listen, if Arn Anderson tells me it's going to work, I'm going to do it, okay?
Yes, because Arn Anderson has a lot of history on jumping on ladders, springboarding to a fucking ladder. No.
He said, listen, this is what I told Cody to do, and it worked fine, okay? I need you to try it. Yeah, I
wouldn't say it worked fine with Cody either.
I don't know how the fuck they expected that spot to play out, but it was ugly. It looked like it hurt. I thought he messed up his leg, but he saved it pretty good as far as instead of landing on it, he fucks it up, so then he just pulls Christian down. That part made sense. The part after where he tries to set up that same ladder, I was just like, buddy, you were fucking dumb. You are Ryback level dumb right now. I don't know what the fuck you're thinking. That was crazy. But the match itself I thought was good.
Oh, shit. If it wasn't bad enough, if you weren't crazy as fuck already, just, hey, go up to the fucking 16-foot ladder and do a fucking swanton bomb off of that.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus. That made sense.
I thought that was going to be the spot that ended the match, because Cage was over peering over the fucking apron or whatever, and he was waiting for that to happen, and then he just slides in and goes and grabs the belt while Wardlow's bitten off more than he could chew with his big swanton or whatever.
That's where it would have made more sense with Arn interfering and stopping Christian from doing that. But
yeah.
they used the Arn thing with the biting of the thumb blood shit. And I said he had something in his mouth before he even did it, and I was like, what is he doing with his mouth? Like that, like what the, like he's clearly not Asuka, because he's not hiding it well at all. And then all of a sudden he's biting his thumb. I was like, what the fuck? And then if you see the little bit of blood that Luchasaurus has on his thumb, and then when he goes to grab Arn on the outside, his whole fucking mouth is just red. Like, what'd you do? Suck his soul out of his body, Shang Tsung?
He was sucking on the thumb the whole time.
Oh, my God, damn. Yeah, that was terrible. I did not like that spot at all. That was dumb.
It was, visually, it wasn't bad. It just didn't make sense logically.
What would have been really cool is if fucking Arn would have bit the thumb, had all the blood in his mouth, and then spit the blood in his fucking face. The fake blood in his face. I thought that would have been cooler. That would have been more visually pleasing.
Yeah, maybe.
Not because the blood would have been on his face, because you wouldn't have been able to tell, because Luchasaurus got a big-ass black mask on, right? But just seeing the blood spit out would have been fucking cool, I think.
Yeah.
And then Luchasaurus could have been taken out of the match. Or that would have been a good way to get Luchasaurus over there on the tables, too, because he couldn't fucking see anything.
Got the great Anderson out here spitting fucking blood mist.
I mean, if you're going to waste a fucking Arn Anderson spot... Come on, get a fucking spine buster in or something. Come on, man. Biting the thumb. Come on, dude.
You know what I didn't like? They acted like Wardlow's never been in a fucking ladder match before. The whole build of it was like, oh, Christian Cage has so much experience in ladder matches, and Wardlow, he's a big guy. How does he know how to ladder? Like, bro, he won the fucking Face of the Revolution ladder match, like, last year.
He said that in the Road 2 or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah, it was crazy to me that the announcers kept being like, oh, Cage, he's the one with the... Like, eh, not really. But yeah, I thought the match was entertaining. I thought it was good. I thought that it made Luchasaurus look a little bit useless. I think he could have done more. And I obviously wanted Cage to win. But, I mean, the match was good.
All right, so now we're going to go to my favorite two matches. The four-way, obviously. For the world title. Alright. They all showed out. They all did really good. The person that I just watched on Twitter post, oh, these guys did really good in the four-way match, and they literally cropped out Jungle Boy. I want to punch them so fucking hard. I don't know what this fascination is with just hating on Jungle Boy for existing. But Jungle Boy did just as good as everybody else in that fucking match. It's fucking ridiculous that people are trolling to that level. I thought it was fucking awesome. And MJF in the post-media scrum or whatever said, I had the best Iron Man match. I had the best dog collar match. All this stuff. And he said, I had the best four-way match. I can't think of a better four-way match. So I tend to agree with him. Obviously not in AEW, but I'm just talking about four-way matches in general. Can you think of a fatal four-way match that was better than that? Fatal four-way matches really aren't as memorable as we think they are. When we're like, oh yeah, Fatal 4-Way match, it's going to be so cool. It's, what about the only one I can think of off the top of my head is the Forbidden Door one from last year.
I mean, I'm biased though, so I'm not going to say that one because I was there, so I don't want to.
Because that was, what, that was Cole, Jay White, Page, and Okada, right?
Yeah. What was that one that had, I don't remember what year it was, but it was like Cena, Edge, Orton, and Shawn Michaels. They were all together. I remember that being a pretty good match. I don't know if it was better than this one.
I don't remember that match. What pay-per-view is that? Like, if I can't remember it, then I'm not going to say that it's better than this one, because I'm going to remember this one.
Backlash 2007? Thank you. Yeah, that's the only one that's coming to mind is like a four-way match that I can even, off the top of my head, really remember. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe, this is the thing, though.
The highest profile four-way match before this, as far as, I assume that the world title was on the line in that match, by the way.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, I don't see how you had those four guys in a fatal four-way and not have the world title on the line, but... The only other one I can think of is the WrestleMania one with fucking Triple H, Big Show, Mankind, and The Rock. And it was terrible. I did not like that match at all. Mm. Where, like, a different man was in everybody's corner or whatever the fuck it was. You remember that?
Yeah.
Stephanie, Shane, Vince, and Linda were all in different corners for the four people that are involved. I did not like that match at all. And that was a WrestleMania fucking main event. NXT Revival, Tyson Kidd versus Neville versus Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn was dope.
That sounds like it was good.
I mean, I used to watch NXT back then too, as like on a regular basis, so I feel like I should definitely remember that one. But it was also when Tyson Kidd was still active, so who knows? That was a long ass time ago.
Yeah, that would have had to been, and all those people were in NXT and not doing fucking 205, so that would have been.
That had to be before Tyler. Was that before Tyler Breeze wrestled Liger? Because that would be even longer.
100%. Because if
had to be right,
Pac would have been in, or Neville would have been in 205 at that point if he was even still there. So for sure. The thing is, I don't want to say that it's the best four way off the top of my head because obviously there's a recency bias with us having just seen it.
I think a lot of people don't put into the equation that, hey, 3-4 years from now, are you going to remember this match? I think I'm going to remember this match. I think I'm going to remember spots in the match. I think I'm going to remember how good the fucking match was. The match or the spot where they all had each other in submissions, for instance, in the middle of the ring. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I thought it was great.
Jungle Boy German of the fucking Darby and Sammy superplex into MJF was a cool spot. Yeah. I like the spot where they all did their own mentor's moves. I thought that was smart.
Yeah, that was cool as fuck too, yeah.
And
the headlock takeover from Darby, and then the headlock takeover from MJF to win it. I thought both of those were fucking great. I actually stopped it to explain to them why it was such a big deal for Darby to try to win with that, because it actually hurt Darby in the end to even go for that move, because if he didn't, Jungle Boy wouldn't have had the extra second to get in to stop his count. So if he would have just pinned him after the coffin drop, Darby had it won. But he had to fucking... He went to the ego place that he said he wasn't going to go to with MJF to do the headlock takeover to win, and it ended up costing him. So I thought that was a perfect fucking setup going forward if they want to do something with that later on, which I feel like they do, because that's why MJF ended up doing the fucking headlock takeover again anyway. Now you can say that I did it. I beat you with a headlock takeover twice. You don't deserve my title or a title shot, whatever. Like how he usually spins things when he doesn't want to wrestle for his character. So I thought that was fucking brilliant. But yeah, there's just so many things in this match I'm going to remember. I can't tell you one fucking thing from the Shawn Michaels, John Cena, Orton Edge match. I can't tell you shit.
When he gets up, goddamn, it was Edge and one of the other people. I forget who the other one was. But he gets them both up for the fucking double AA. It was one of the first times he'd ever done it. Two people at one time in an AA. That's the one spot that I remember from that match. But, yeah, I thought Guevara was really good in this. I thought Jungle Boy was fine.
Oh, is that when he did it to Orton and Edge at the same time?
It was either Orton and Edge or Edge and Michaels. I don't think he did all three of them. That'd be crazy.
No, I don't think he did all three either. I feel like it was. I feel like it was Edge and Orton though.
But it was
that
the
when
first
Edge and Orton were still doing
it.
RKO, the rated RKO shit?
It was 2007. So
2007. That sounds like it could have been rated RKO.
Taekwon says it was 2007. Take his word for it.
Ooh. Okay. I might have to go back and watch it.
Yeah. So. Hesitant to say it was the best one of all time, but I will say it had a lot of really memorable spots. It was a very well-told match. It was laid out well. There was a lot of good storytelling, good little Easter eggs throughout it, especially with the mentor callbacks and the, you know, some of the side headlock stuff. The Jungle Boy, like, being told all the way up to it, like, hey, yeah, you're not fucking vicious enough to win, and then he has the belt, he has the chance to do it, and fucking still doesn't do it, proving everybody's point. Darby kind of the same thing, where he's like, oh, I'm not gonna let my ego get the better of me this time, and he does. There was a lot of subtle stuff like that in it that really made sense. I thought it was a really good match. I will still say that the build wasn't very good at all. They didn't make me give a shit about the match on the way to the match. I do not care, like, what job you had in fucking high school and how you struggled, you know, in your high school job. Like, we all had fucking high school jobs, buddy. Like, it's not, it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care. And it's not something I feel like you should be bringing up in wrestling promos where you're trying to seem larger than life. Unless you had, like, a real struggle and not just, I used to work at fucking Shoney's or whatever. I don't know if I would say this was better than the main event. I think some people will say it was better than the main event if the Anarchy in the Arena stuff isn't really their cup of tea, I guess.
Or just because you miss a lot of stuff. You also miss half the match as well. You can only focus on one thing at once. Whatever the fucking camera is showing you. You know what I'm saying? So that could be another reason why their review of the two matches would be skewed.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I don't think that they could have pulled this off any better as far as what actually happened in the ring. I thought it was a great match.
All right. So definitely be in your top two or three, though, even if you can't say
for this pay-per-view?
Best.
Yeah.
No. For sure, it's the best. Two of the best in the pay-per-view. It's literally between this and Anarchy in the Arena. These two matches literally saved the pay-per-view, honestly.
People keep saying that, but, like,
it's accurate. If those matches would have been just as mid as the rest of the fucking card, this pay-per-view would have been terrible.
The Cargill match that ended in Statlander coming back was good.
That's a good moment, yes, but you literally just said it wasn't even Jade Cargill's best match, in your opinion.
I don't think it was, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a good match.
The amount to compare them to is pretty low. You're comparing this to other AEW pay-per-views, so this is not more... Okay, so, like, I saw somebody post on Twitter...
Comparing it to other pay-per-views? Who the fuck said that? We're literally just talking right now about, like... comparison to, first of all, you're asking about,
you are comparing it to something. You can't just say it's a good pay-per-view and not compare it to something else.
No, what I'm saying is that what I said was, people keep saying that the last two matches saved the pay-per-view,
and they're accurate. That's accurate.
I don't think that's true. I think that they were better than everything else on the pay-per-view, but the pay-per-view was not, it's not like it was like dog shit until these two matches happened.
I think it was not great until those two matches happened. Besides the Battle Royale. The Battle Royale, it started out good, and I had high hopes, and then it just kind of fucking died. And I've already explained why I think that.
I thought the Titan match was good. I thought the Wardlow match was good.
Good. That's not what we're talking about.
You don't need to save something from being good. That's the point.
Yeah, yes, you do, when it's AEW and they have the history that they do. Yes, you do.
You don't need to save something
from
being good.
It's just as dumb as, like, the fucking person that posted the fucking screenshot of the ratings on Cage Match for... Battleground versus AEW Double or Nothing. You know why they have higher ratings for NXT's matched Battleground than they do AEW Double or Nothing? Because you're fucking, when you rate the NXT show, you're not rating it versus Double or Nothing. You're rating it against other NXT shows, which are not good. So yeah, in comparison, that NXT show was a lot better than other NXT shows. But if I'm rating Double or Nothing against NXT Battleground, I'm still picking Double or Nothing over Battleground. It's not fucking 3 points higher than fucking Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing was just not good as far as comparing it to other fucking AEW pay-per-views.
Your misunderstanding of sample bias here is, like, very telling. So the reason that that's the case, A, is because people don't always watch both products. I can tell you right now, I didn't even fucking watch the NXT pay-per-view, even though we did predictions on it. Like, so I'm not going to be able to rate it. I wouldn't go in and rate it. it would have a lower rating if people had watched both. But that doesn't mean it's not still being compared against other stuff when people who do watch both go in and score it.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes absolute sense. This is basic
fucking
sample
bias. So why did AEW get a 6 rating then?
It probably got a 6 rating because, A, you got a bunch of people that go in after those fucking matches that are WWE fans who didn't even watch the fucking show and will go in and rate it bullshit.
That's not how cage match works.
That is absolutely how cage match works.
No,
you can't. You can't do it if you haven't had an account for X amount of time. But after you had an account for, I think it's like 7 days or reviewed one other thing or some bullshit, then it opens it up and you can review whatever the fuck you want. And yes, that happens all the time. Go look at the what the fuck match was it that they just... It was like a Kenny Omega match and they literally just did that on and tried to give it like fucking 2-star ratings and shit. Like it was a real rating. It was retarded. Like, people do that all the time. People will also falsely inflate WWE stuff all the time. And I don't know why you're acting like this is such a like strange, crazy thing when you see how people act on Twitter and they are aware of cagematch.net.
That's... Okay, I'm not saying that this doesn't happen, but it's not all the time. That doesn't make any sense.
It happens.
The ratings are still
time,
reflective
yes.
of what the goddamn overall feeling was after both pay-per-views, okay? So I'm not saying that fucking NXT Battleground was a fucking 9. I think that's inaccurate. I don't think Double or Nothing was a 6. I think that's inaccurate. So yes, to your point, there are some people that are probably going in there and inflating shit. But that's not what that's not every goddamn rating. It wouldn't fucking offset the other ratings that it's been getting. So it doesn't matter. So you're telling me that AEW fans don't go in there and do the exact same thing to the NXT shows?
They might, but not nearly to the same extent, no.
Come on, man. It's not that fucking one-sided. There's no way.
Okay, here's... I can read you some of the fucking reviews and prove that this is the case. Every match filled with awful gimmicks and guys hitting each other with weapons and run-ins awful. Do you think that sounds like somebody who actually watched it or somebody that's reading shit on Twitter and is a fucking WWE fan is like, oh yeah, I'm gonna come in and give it a shit rating?
Okay, but that's one person. That's my point. How many ratings does the whole show have?
The only one that's like that.
How many ratings does the show have?
Only like 200 something. I don't know how many votes you think these get, but like, it's not as many as you think.
I think you're blowing it up. I think you're blowing up the ratings more than what they actually are.
I think I work with data analysis and trend analysis for a living, so I understand how very low ratings from people that are not supposed to, like, that are not legitimately rating something can, like, completely skew your sample to the point where you would want to remove those from
the sample. They did this on what? They did this on a Dynamite or something. Not that long. I think it was a Dynamite not that long ago. And Cage Match actually went in there and fucking deleted the fucking things because they knew they were full of shit.
And they still might for this one.
I don't think they will. What was the actual rating that they gave the show, that guy that you just talked about? They give it a 1?
A 2. Because if they know that if you give it a fucking 1, that it gets flagged as like, oh, this is probably fake. Let's go look at that. So they always try to make it like a 2 or a fucking 3 or a 4. Like, I don't know why you're pretending this doesn't happen.
I didn't say it doesn't happen.
Oh, move on to Adam Small and Jared Bloat. This feud stinks. Book better, Tony. The fans stink. Like, 4. Rates at a 4. Like, these are not serious fucking ratings. These ratings don't matter.
All right, let's talk about Anarchy in the Arena. I thought it was really good, and like I said, the last two matches saved the pay-per-view. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Well, I had already mentioned about the crowd being mic'd poorly, which didn't help, and my problems personally with VR, which I've never had before, but now I really wish somebody would have brought it up in Media Scrum, but they wouldn't have brought it up because they were watching it live, so that sucks, because a lot of their fans are either using VPNs like you or whatever on Fight, or just foreign fans in general, and are just have Fight by itself, or the few people that are using cable still, I guess. I don't fucking know. I mean, I saw people that had the same problem as me, but it just wasn't as abundantly clear as, like, when they first went to BR Live and everybody was having fucking issues, right? To the point where Tony actually had to come out and say something about it. So I was really hoping somebody in the fucking media scrum brought it up, because it was very annoying. Really ruined my entire experience and felt like a waste of money.
I don't know how common that was. Honestly.
It was pretty common. But everything I read on Twitter suggests that the actual audience was very loud. Righteous Reg from Grapsody, he was there. He said it was very loud inside. So he didn't know what the hell people were talking about, because a lot of people were having that same complaint as well, that the crowd was shit. So I don't know how accurate that was, because I'm going to tend to believe the people that were actually inside over the people that are watching it at home when it's not mic'd up correctly, because we've seen that before. So I'm going to believe the fans that were
there. Did you notice Alvarez in the crowd? Is it like two or three rows back? Like fucking.
Yeah, I saw him win Statlander one, I believe.
I saw him a couple. I noticed him throughout. Wasn't it either Statlander
or Tony Storm won? I remember it was one of the women's matches. I saw.
I noticed him especially during the four way. He was paying real close attention to that finish.
Wasn't he in the scrum afterwards too? I know Meltzer was.
I know Dave was. Yeah, I think he was, because MJF said, "Stop smiling at me." That was one of the first things he said. So yeah, I'm pretty sure he was there. That's what I've heard too. I've heard that the crowd there was louder. It did feel even on Fight and stuff. So it wasn't like a BR audio mixing thing. It was like a broader thing. It did feel like the crowd was pretty flat in parts. There were a couple decent pops, obviously, when Statlander came out and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, it had to be, overly loud for it to register.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was picking up. But also, if you watch the crowd during some of the matches, they do seem to be, not very active, moving, whatever. They're just all kind of sitting there
yeah,
watching.
Yeah, I agree. I noticed that, too. Especially the hard camera side, right across from the fucking ring. They weren't up and jumping around and standing up and making shit ton of noise. I think that didn't help the situation when people were thinking that they weren't being loud, because those people clearly weren't being loud. Whatever the fuck they were doing. I don't know what the fuck they were doing.
Here's the other part too. There was one part in the four-way match where Excalibur calls, "Oh, they're giving them a standing ovation," but it was one third of the hard cam side. It was the left third of them that all stood up and started clapping, whatever, and then the rest of them just stayed seated, and it just seemed like the crowd wasn't as participatory as you would hope for big shows like this. So I understand that they're saying it was loud in the arena and they were actually there, so I will take their word for it, but I will say it didn't come across very well on TV, and it wasn't just a sound thing.
Do you think Vegas has gotten too much AEW and they need to take a bigger break from them?
I could definitely see it being
five straight
pay-per-views
at the same time, and
especially
among other
this
things.
Pay-per-view.
Because I read somebody on Twitter said something very smart to me, in my opinion. They said they could run fucking Atlantic City, New Jersey, and have the exact same theme.
Yep.
And I was yes, agree.
I literally just thought that as I started to talk. So yeah, I understand that the theme is Double or Nothing, and they need to keep it in Vegas, but it's clearly like a tap market as far as excitement for it or whatever. The ticket sales on this, I think they still had 1,300 left on the morning of. I don't know how many they ended up selling, reduced or giving away or whatever the fuck.
I don't see why you can't just do alternating years between Atlantic City and Las Vegas. I think you can easily do that.
Isn't there something weird with New Jersey shows where their athletic commission is really fucking annoying about wrestling?
Well, I know New York is about to try to pass some bullshit too. I read something about an article about New York about to try to pass some new fucking wrestling commission shit, which is fucking stupid.
New Jersey?
I don't know about New Jersey, honestly.
They just have some of the dumbest fucking state laws of, and not even just related to athletic commission stuff, but just in general. I see houses sometimes, and, I want to move up north or whatever, and it's closer to Toronto, so I've been looking at, different states or whatever, and every time I see a house, and I notice it's in New York, I'm like, nah, no fucking way. Their shit is so ridiculous up there for so many things. Absolutely fucking not. No way. No way would I ever live there. And on top of that, now you have this athletic commission shit with them where they're trying to super fucking regulate wrestling. You gotta wonder how that's gonna impact. They're trying to regulate it like it's a real sport. It's crazy. would you regulate a goddamn Broadway play that if it had like a fighting scene in it? It makes no sense.
Yeah, agree. Okay. So I guess we got to end it as far as this review for Double or Nothing goes with the grade, like we usually do. Now, our hype levels were, what, seven? Six or seven? What would you give AEW's Double or Nothing 2023 overall grade?
Probably like an eight. I think it wasn't the best pay-per-view they've ever done.
My bad. That was my fault. Grade.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Whatever the equivalent of an 80 is then, so B minus?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I actually agree with that. I would give it a B minus too.
I thought the Battle Royale was really good. I mean, the tag team matches. 79.
But really low. Now, college, that would be a D, but still. I mean, no, a C plus. Right? College. It's by 10. It's by 10 in college.
Depends on
it's
the college.
By 10. But anyway, yeah, I'd give it a C or a B minus rather as well.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it had more good matches than bad. So it's obviously, you know, going to be more than a C. And then the matches that were really good gave it extra credit. So there you go.
So I did. So I gave it a B minus as well because I like the Battle Royal. I didn't have a problem with the pre-show. The pre-show was actually probably my most enjoyable thing just because it matched up. It was the only match I got to see that was right. The Statlander, Jade Cargill, Taya, Chip, I liked. And then the last two matches were amazing. The other shit I could do with or without. The ladder match was entertaining. Don't get me wrong. It just... Wardlow, like you said, is stupid. I was like, what the fuck?
Love Wardlow. He seems like a really nice guy.
No, yeah, same.
I don't know what the fuck he was doing with the ladder.
In the realm of Wardlow, the character in a ladder match,
yeah.
That was dumb.
But I appreciate the Swanton spot that he did. That was very cool. Looked like it fucking hurt, and it looked amazing. But yeah, just the way that his character was doing shit in the match, I was just like, buddy, you fucking...
Yeah, and I don't think B minus is actually necessarily a negative score because we thought Revolution was going to be a C or a B or whatever, and it ended up being an A plus, right? So yeah. It's almost impossible to live up to what Revolution was for your next pay per view, especially when you still have to worry about, as Tony Khan, Forbidden Door, All In, All Out, and Double or Nothing in a 98-day span. In a 98-day span, and you have to add in Collision now. That's going to start on June 17th.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay that this was a small bump in the road. A B-minus, I would take that every day if I was the owner of the company, honestly.
Hey, guys, did you like that video? If so, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. You can also catch full episodes of the MonsterCast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And you can also catch us live every Sunday on Twitch. All links in the description below, along with some sweet merch from yours truly, the MonsterCast. Deuces.